be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that time, so many people were crowding together that they were trampling one another underfoot. Jesus began to speak, first to his disciples. Beware of the leaven, that is the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. There is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, nor secret that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the darkness will be heard in the light. What you have whispered behind closed doors will be proclaimed on the housetops. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who can kill the body, but after that can do no more. I shall show you whom to fear. Be afraid of the one who, after killing, has the power to cast into Gehenna. Yes, I tell you, be afraid of that one. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 small coins? Yet not one of them has escaped the notice of God. Even the hairs on your head have all been counted. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Blessed the people the Lord has chosen to be his own. Yesterday, as we began our 2-week entrance into the really beautiful, powerful, eloquent, rich, and deep letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians, we pondered that before the Lord founded the world, he had chosen us in his Son. The Lord has chosen us. Chosen us, as we hear at the end of the psalm today, to be his inheritance, to be his treasure. In Psalm 116, we talk about Psalm 16. We lift up the chalice of the Lord. We belong to him. He is our portion and our cup. He is our inheritance. But we are likewise God's inheritance, and he has chosen us that way. And it's with that wonder that St. Paul writes his letter to the Ephesians. In Christ we were chosen, he tells us today. And he's writing here to us Gentiles. And he used the word also, because it was clear that the Jews were God's chosen people, but we're all spiritual Semites. We were chosen in Christ, destined in accordance with the purpose of the one who accomplishes everything according to the intention of his will. What is the intention of his will? What is God's plan for our life? Why did he create us? Why did he send his Son to redeem us? Why did he send the Holy Spirit to sanctify us? It's for this purpose. That we might exist for the praise of his glory. This is true in an objective and a subjective sense. God has created us for the praise of his glory. Once we just open ourselves up to the gifts that he gives, we glorify God. What are those gifts? The word of truth that we're called to listen to and become one with. The gospel of our salvation. The great news that we have been saved, that we've been loved that much by God, that he wouldn't leave us in the ditch, that we've believed in him, our faith, objectively glorifies him. Sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit is when we receive the Holy Spirit, when we live by the Holy Spirit, we are glorifying God, which is the first installment of our inheritance toward redemption as God's possession. And then once again, to the praise of his glory. All of this objectively is God's plan. He has made us his inheritance so that he might be ours. And he's enriched us with the greatest gifts of all, himself, every spiritual blessing in the heavens, so that objectively we glorify him. But there's also a subjective dimension to this glorification. We've got to want it. We've got to roll out of bed today and say, thank you, Lord, for giving me one more day to glorify you, to praise you, to love you. And it's when we cooperate fully with what God is doing, when we subjectively make our own purpose the objective intention of God's glory, that the whole world is led to glorify together with us. That's what Jesus talks about in the Sermon on the Mount when he calls us the light of the world. And he says, so let your light shine among all, so that seeing your good deeds, seeing your love for God with all your mind, heart, soul, and strength, seeing your love for your neighbor as Jesus loved you first, so that seeing your good deeds, they may glorify your Father who is in heaven. During that first Mass, Jesus prayed, glorify your Son with the glory he had before the foundation of the world when God was choosing us in his Son. And then Jesus says there, I have revealed to them your glory. And he invited us into that revelation of the glory. And he wanted to unveil the way that that glory is supposed to happen and be transmitted through the church. Some big stuff here. You could preach several retreats on it, if only there were time. But we see that despite all of this richness, sometimes it's rejected. And that's what the gospel shows us. Jesus spoke to his disciples saying, beware of the leaven, that is the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. The hypocrisy of the Pharisees, they're play acting, they're being these whitewashed tombs, they're being those who publicly profess that they're trying to follow God's law and will to its little dot. We're far from it, because inside they were dead and murderous, which we'll see come to fruition on Good Friday. Beware of it. Beware of this two-facedism. Beware of what that hypocrisy does. And then he describes that there's nothing concealed that will not be revealed, nor secret that will not be known. What's going on inside those Pharisaical hearts, their hypocrisy is one day going to be fully exposed. Know it. That we can't have a secret life. In response to the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, Jesus wants us to be yeast of another sort, yeast of integrity. Those who really say yes when they mean yes and no when they mean no. Not those who are going to try to catch Jesus in a verbal trap, as we'll hear on Sunday with whether it's lawful to pay tax to Caesar or not. Jesus wants us to grasp that everything that's within is going to be shared. Therefore, he says, everything you whisper behind somebody's back will be heard in the light, will be proclaimed on the housetops. So you're darn well better be praising people behind their backs. You better be loving people behind their backs, because it's all going to be known. The Holy Spirit, who has been given to us and sealed us, is somebody who helps us with this integrity and helps us to proclaim from the housetops the great gifts that God has given. Holy Spirit helps us to become courageous. I tell you, my friends, don't be afraid of those who can kill the body, but after that can't do anything else. The devil can't do anything else. I shall show you whom to fear. Be afraid of the one who, after killing, has the power to cast into Gehenna. The devil can't do that. Only God can. Yes, I tell you, be afraid of that one. Have this reverential fear of God. But please know that God doesn't intend to do this, because immediately thereafter, Jesus says, are not five sparrows sold for two small coins? Sparrows were worthless. This is a lepton, the coin that's being described there, like the widow who put its one-third of a penny. They're throwing an extra sparrow. just to get rid of the sparrows. But God knows every single sparrow. Not one falls to the ground without his knowing. He cares for the sparrows. So fear God rather than the devil, but recognize that this God loves you more than all the sparrows. So there's a different type of fear. There's this reverential awe that we have for God. Even all the hairs of your head have been counted. All 130,000 former follicles. So don't be afraid. You're worth so much more. That's the type of leaven. That's the type of way that we've been chosen. It's the type of inheritance God has already made us and wants to share. This type of integrity, this type of trust in God and in his providence and in his protection, this recognition of having been chosen to exist for the praise of God's glory is something that characterizes the lives of the saints. Today we rejoice together to be able to celebrate in this convent of the Sacred Heart, the one without whom this convent would have been never named after the Sacred Heart. It wouldn't have just been the awesome preaching of St. John Hughes which would have brought this about. It's what Jesus whispered to St. Margaret Mary so that she would be able to proclaim it on the housetops. An incredible gift to the sister who had suffered a lot. She lost her dad, as you know. She and her mom were treated really poorly by her in-laws, terribly abused by them, in fact. She had suffered with leg problems for several years, serious pain, such that she was on her back. But throughout all of it, the Lord was purifying her for her mission. She had still been chosen with special predilection to share in the glory of Christ's exaltation on the cross. Eventually, she entered into the Visitation Nuns founded by St. Francis de Sales. It was there that her sufferings continued. She wasn't understood by her fellow sisters, but she persevered because she knew that the Lord trusted her and it called her in accordance with his will. And then in December of 1673, the Lord began to appear to her and to pour out with great intimacy, far more than blood and water, the contents of his Sacred Heart. And the real culmination of it, which I preach over and over and over and over and over again, because it really, in my opinion, shows us the spirituality of how to relate to the Lord Jesus and the spirituality of how to relate to everybody, was when Jesus ripping open his chest and showing that heart inflamed and crowned with thorns said, "Behold the heart that has so loved men that it has exhausted itself in testimony of its love." But in response, for most, I receive only indifference, irreverence, coldness, sacrilege, and scorn. And then to up the ante, Jesus says, "And what pains me most keenly is that those consecrated to me treat me this way. The baptized who are consecrated to me treat me this way. Those who live a more intimate form of consecration in religious life treat me this way. Those who consecrate bread and wine so that everybody is able to enter into my consecration to the Father, treat me this way." That a response to Jesus in the Holy Eucharist is something that really dramatically lets him down. And likewise, Jesus could say in the distressing disguise of the poor, the hungry, the thirsty, the naked, the stranger, the ill, the imprisoned, that we treat him in them so often with indifference, irreverence, coldness, sacrilege, and scorn. But Jesus doesn't just say that to make us feel guilty. Jesus says that to us because he indicates the opposite side of the coin, how he wants us to relate to him and how he wants us to love our neighbor. In response to those who treat him with irreverence, he wants us to treat him with extraordinary love. In response to those who treat him with indifference, he wants us to treat him as the biggest difference in our life. That's what it means to make Jesus in the Holy Eucharist the source and the summit of our life. We can't wait to spend time with him. We recognize how lucky we are, even if the rest of the day makes Job look like a short story. We still will have been in the presence of God incarnate, and then he would have made us his temple. You know, if we're asked straight on up, would you suffer A, B, C, D, Z, 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 Z today, but for it have the chance to receive the incarnate Word of God within you in the Holy Eucharist? All of us with faith would say, I would much rather to have Jesus, and if this is the price that I have to pay, okay, than to say no and no. Treat him as the biggest difference in our life. In response to those who treat him with coldness, to be on fire for him, because nothing short of passion is worthy of him. To those who treat him with sacrilege, we treat him with great sacrality. To those who treat him with scorn or contempt, we treat him with praise. Jesus is indicating to us a whole spirituality of how to relate. And as we do, we enter into the praise of his Father's glory. We enter into his own glorification of the Father. St. Margaret Mary was someone who not only received this intimate revelation of the Lord, she wasn't just someone who shared it with the world, but she was one who repaired for Jesus' wounds in the way that she loved him above all. And the Lord will send the seal of the Holy Spirit to help us to do the same. Blessed the people the Lord has chosen to be his own. Blessed are those called to this supper, the supper of the Lamb.